come to prayer with me. Dear God, help us all get something out of this next however many minutes. Let your voice speak through me and let some aspect of your truth come out in what we can learn tonight. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I've been told that a great speech has two parts. It has a great idea and it has great imagery. You're going to get mediocre on both of those. So I guess that's what makes a mediocre speech. But you know, I can deal with mediocre. I guess what I'm going to speak about tonight is something that's always interested me and something that's always made me curious. And what that is the duality of water, which I'll explain what this all means in a second. The duality of water has always been interesting to me, especially when talking to Christians. Right, I've always been curious by this dichotomy of water as something holy, something good, something healing. Right, for the most part, water is something we go to for healing. Water is something that gives us life. Water is the same thing we're baptized in. Can you put on the first verse? Yeah, this comes from Isaiah 12:3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Water is something good and holy. For a lot of the way that we think about it, it's something we need. It's something that comes from God and something that we are given to and we can go back to when we need to reaffirm our relationship with God. But there's this other side to water. There's this way of thinking about water as something that we need to be protected from. It's something dangerous. We're told that we need God to guide us, or we want God to guide us through when waters turn dark or waters rise above our heads. Can you go to the next verse, Kathleen? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Here it seems interesting to me that even though we know of water as something good and something holy, it's like fire here. It's something that kills and destroys. And so in the Christian mind at least, water has two aspects. It has goodness and holality, right? Through water I can become closer to God. We're told that through the sacrament of holy baptism. But we're also given this imagery of water as dangerous, as fire. And I think this is a contradiction that, on first glance, strikes really to the heart of Christianity. We're told to treat the world very absolutely, right? Anything that is of God is good. Any action, anything, any presence, I don't know, I needed a third one. But anything that is not of God is, for lack of a better word, bad. And while I don't think that's not true, I think it's more complicated than that. So I'm not going to speak here about how I think things that are of God are bad, because I think Max would throw me out. But I do think we have to take a little bit of a step back and consider some of the things that we take for granted. One of those things being water. So, like I said, for the most part, water has healing properties, healing qualities, and it's something that gives us life. But it's also in the Bible been used for some really destructive, dangerous things. Right, the flood that forced Noah to build his ark wasn't a flood of wine or wasn't a flood of lemonade. It was a flood of water. Jonah, the whale, was in the water. So we see water through all of these aspects, through all of these lenses, in different forms and contexts. And I think that's interesting, thinking about it as a way of looking at water. Maybe it's always the same thing, right? What if the water that John the Baptist baptized Jesus in was left over from the flood of Noah? What if the water that held the whale for Jonah had swept away a village at one point? So we have to think about water not only as what it is, right? That's not the important part. But we have to take it for where it is, what time it is, where it's being used. Right? The waters that sweep me over in a river, are also the waters that I'll go down to the river to pray. So it's interesting. But I think the more interesting bit, and the thing that we can actually gain from this, is thinking about taking a lesson as a whole. I think too often we like to think in absolutes, right? They're a lot easier to think in. People are either successful or they're unsuccessful. People are good or they're bad. People are poor or rich. Right? Those are really easy ways to think about the world, especially the world that we live in, which is a complex, multifaceted thing. But they're not accurate. Well, they're not always accurate. Just like thinking of water as something truly good or truly bad isn't always accurate. Well, some of y'all might remember Work Project, and I spoke about the old spiritual weight in the water. I'm not going to sing it because that would be a curse upon all of us. But the moral of the story is it comes to a chorus where it says, God's going to trouble the water. God's going to trouble the water. And so when I'm thinking about my faith, which I've been doing a lot of recently, I go back to that spiritual a lot. Because it always seemed interesting to me. In this, we're given two images, right? We're given peaceful water, and we're given troubled, disturbed water. And I spoke a while about what that actually meant for the spiritual, and you can ask me later. But those two images seem to always be in contradiction of each other, right? We want calmness. We want clear, smooth water. Right, Max prefers that when he's boating than wavy, choppy water. I guess to bother us, he prefers the wavy, choppy water. But for the most part, we want the storms in our life to be calm or not to be there. But then we're given this other image of water that's been troubled, of disturbed. A ripple is running through it like a wave. And that's the thing that we're asking God to do a lot of the times. We're asking for disturbances. We're asking for perturbation. Big word to mean disturbances. I couldn't think of another word. And so when I look at my faith, I don't know about making general statements, I think this dichotomy really challenges me. And it's really something that I struggle with because I think of Christianity as a unified worldview, as a way of always coming to the right decision. Right? Through the teachings of Jesus, I can always come to the truth and I can always come to right action. But that's a little bit of an arrogant way of thinking about it. And I'm not saying that through God we're not going to come to right action or not going to come to the truth, but I'm saying through my understanding of Christianity, I can be led astray just as easily. For those of you who've come to previous talks, whenever I've talked at Wesley or Bible studies I've led, a common theme that I've noticed is temperance. That's what I like to talk about. And not temperance as in abolition or, prudishness, but temperance as in modesty and humility in regard to our outlook on the world. And I think that's what this image of water will lead me to. Not because it's really natural to get there, and not because I have to arrive there through some great logic on my own, but because God gives us so many images in our lives, so many things to take in, right? The world is different to each of us. We live in a world of so many complex situations, so many complex people, that it's impossible for anything to be unified in the face of it. Right? We can strive to be kind in every situation, but sometimes kindness isn't what's necessary. Right? Sometimes you have to tell a child when no means no. Sometimes you have to rub a dog's nose in a mess. Those things aren't kind, but they're necessary. Sometimes anger might even be necessary. Right? We can talk about righteous indignation and when we should be led by that. When we should be angry at the world and what the world sends to us. So we can have universal law and we can have truth. I'm not disputing that, and I really think it's true. I really think that the same God who troubles the water can calm it too. What I think is, we can't know what that universal truth is. We can't know what rule I need to be following. There probably is a grand rule that if I followed all the time, my life would be better and the world would be better. But the waters in our life are too varied and too different for that ever to become clear to me. So I'm going to end tonight conclusively, hopefully, on this idea of humility in the face of water. And it's something that anyone who's stood at the edge of the ocean should be familiar with. Like when you are standing over the edge and you see the ocean going off into the boundless horizon, you truly know what it is to be small. That ocean stretches for miles past what we can see. For a lot of times, you can't see anything on the ocean. If you're in Galveston, you can probably see some boats, but if you're on a better beach, you can see far out and not see anything. That is the world of God. That's the world that God has given us, one of boundless possibility and boundless, I was about to say boundless boundaries, boundless imagination and opportunity. But the way we view it has to be smaller than that. It has to say the ocean cuts out over the horizon. And that's not bad of us. That's not wrong, but it's a limitation placed on us by who we are, what we are. So the boundlessness of the water means just as much as the danger or the life-givingness of the water. I feel like there's a better word than life-givingness, but we'll move on. So taken as a whole, water and what it means to us has to change, right? And it does change. I can think of songs we sing at Wesley where we jump in the water, we love the water, we go down to the water. But I can also think of ones where, like Isaiah, we ask the water to guide, we ask God to guide us when the waters get too high and when we're in danger from them. So we have to use ourselves, and we have to use the humility provided to us to say what we need at that moment. And that's not something that we can get true right at all every moment of every day. but it's something through grace and through understanding and introspection we might be able to truly ask for and to truly understand. So I guess that's what I want through my faith, is understanding. Understanding of when is water troubled for my benefit, or when is it troubled? When is the ocean boundless, or when is a tsunami coming to eat me? I don't know if tsunamis eat. When I should go down to the river, and when I should feel cleansed by the river, and when I should get out before I drown. Those are all situations that we have to look to ourselves and look to our God. But always remember that really one of the only ways that we can experience God is through our relationship with Him. And that relationship is something very perspective and not always right. So we have to have humility, and we have to have patience and temperance. So as I close this sermon, will you all join me in prayer? Dear God, we know that you are all wise and all powerful and all knowing, and we know that we're none of those things. But we also know that through our relationship with you and through the understanding that you can provide, we can become as close to you as humanly possible. And we might one day know how to bind the oceans and how to make this world into a clear place that you can help us understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.